a full-scale investigation to identify his staff who were involved in the alleged acts of bribery in this Joy News documentary that I talk about, Porous Borders. The expose revealed how some traders bribe customs officials to smuggle goods from neighboring countries into the country. Guta President Joseph Obeng, we heard him, attributes the smuggling to high taxes imposed on goods brought into the country. There have been reactions to that particular position that Guta put out there. Of course, we've been hearing from Commissioner of Customs, Brigadier General Ziblim Ayorogo, who says they are ready to look into the matter.
I've seen the video, just a synopsis of the video. I want to see the complete video. Indeed, if based on the face value of what we see, full investigation will be conducted. And I mean full investigation. Interestingly, this is where I spent all my years in, so it's not going to be a doubt. I have some know-how, let me say it for now, that if people are wrong, indeed, they'll be dealt with. But I have not seen the video completely. I just saw just a synopsis. And that, normally, when you're doing a documentary coverage, and you don't do it very well, the evidence should be clear. You shouldn't have the slightest doubt. But more often than not, you're not able to identify somebody. Is it this person, or is it this person? Well, I'm just hoping that the documentary is so clear to everybody. And that, like my Commissioner General said, if indeed it is our personnel, obviously the law will take its route. These are my little contribution to.
And that's Brigadier General Ziblim Ayorogo, the Commissioner of Customs, when he appeared before the Public Accounts Committee yesterday, and that public interest question was put to him. And true to his words, after watching, we are hearing tonight that the Ghana Revenue Authority has opened full-scale investigations into what they saw in the Porous Borders. My colleague Latif Idris joins us in the studio with a copy of that particular statement. What does it say?
So the statement says the Customs Division of the Ghana Revenue Authority has cited an investigative documentary produced by Joy FM titled Porous Borders, which details the porous nature of Ghana's eastern and western borders and ways that smugglers evade payment of taxes and duties allegedly with the assistance of some customs officers. To deal with the issue, the Customs Division has set up an investigative team to do three things. One, identify staff who are involved in the alleged act of bribery in the documentary, investigate the specific incidents of alleged bribery, and three, assess any security vulnerabilities at the border points highlighted. The Ghana Revenue Authority wishes to thank Joy FM for their work and assures the trading community and the general public that the authority will provide information on the outcomes of the investigation and sanction meted out. We remain committed to our core mandate of mobilizing revenue for national development.
And that's the statement signed by the Ghana Revenue Authority. Thank you very much, Latif. Well, there have been reactions to what many saw in that particular investigative piece put together by my colleague Kwetinati and tax expert and managing partner Ali Nachia and Associates. Dr. Abdullah Ali Nachia is asking the Ghana Revenue Authority to consider rotating its personnel at the borders to reduce the tendency of traders and smugglers bribing their way through the checkpoints.
People who are not trainable, they come in with the tricks and continue with the tricks. They can't be reformed. Mr. Senano mentioned it. If anybody goes against the standard of procedure, what are the sanctions? Are they meted out? Do we ensure? Even if it comes to transfers, some instances are that people think being put at certain border posts is a punishment. Let's get him out of this place. It's not a dumping ground. That is even the core area of our revenue base if it comes to import. So we need a holistic view of that. And then we need to do the rotation and get out the familiarity, and anybody who gets there wants to ensure that, look, nothing wrong goes on with me, having seen people being punished, people being sanctioned, you will do the right thing. Okay. So it is a whole basket of activities that need to be done to protect the revenue.
Well, co-chair of the Citizen Movement Against Corruption, Adam Senanu, is also calling for proper regulatory mechanisms to combat corruption at the borders.
So it is not a once in a blue moon incident of we do an investigation and find people culpable and then we go to sleep. That will not work. So really, we would need much more than what he's offering at the moment. We should be clear in our minds which unit within SEPs, within the police structure, within all our structures, will continuously take up this responsibility and go beyond. There's the issue of we found a group of people, we've sanctioned them at this point, and then after that, everything seems like it's hunky-dory.
Well, he also added that they're going to be training their officers, geospatial intelligence training for custom officials. That is like educating them and equipping them to handle issues like this. So perhaps that's what we should be looking forward to, and how that could also help curb the menace. Do you agree?
That definitely provides a much more compelling basis to sustain checking on such things. Because yes, if you're using technology, for example, the drones quietly observing, collecting data, the fact that these drones can go around randomly, the fact that they would have a system in place to use the current, you know, institutional rules in terms of what staff can do and not do to sanction and to let go of persons who are not, as it were, promoting the best interest of the nation, I think that would be a much more sustainable thing. So if he fleshes that out some more, and we are clear the kind of partnerships they will get and how that system will be run, and that it will be a permanent unit within, you know, their setup, that definitely will be a much more compelling way to go.
Well, the Ghana Revenue Authority plans to review current tax policies following a call from the Ghana Union of Traders Association, GUTA, to reduce taxes. Commissioner of the GRA, Julie Essiam, says the authority will review some of its tax policies.
We can't say that people are smuggling because taxes, etc. They're loopholes. They're loopholes that we need to block. We've also said that we're going to review taxes, all the taxes, to consolidate taxes. I didn't say to reduce, but to consolidate taxes. That review has to be carefully done. It will be irresponsible of me to stand here and say that it's going to reduce taxes, it's going to take this away, it's going to take that away. No, it's a review.
Well, the former Deputy Trade Minister, Murtala Mohammed, has been weighing in too, is calling on government to reintroduce a policy restricting the importation of rice through the country's inland borders by small-scale importers.
One of these small rice importers, those who bring this rice and other poultry products to our borders, they petitioned the Minister of Trade to lift the ban which was imposed on their activities by the Honorable Harun Idrisu's administration. Now, the big rice importers also petitioned that the ban should not be lifted. So what I did, when I had a discussion with the then minister, he asked that we needed to constitute an independent team to do some investigation. So I used Kofi Kapito, a man in Kofi Kapito at that time was a very strong and leading member of the NPP. I knew some journalists. I remember, I think, multimedia, we had a journalist, we had someone from City, one from PSFM, another journalist we used. The ministry found resources and asked them to go there pretending to be businessmen, bring in rice from a loop from Ivory Coast to Ghana and see whether they would pay the required taxes or import duties. When they went and they came back, the recommendation of the Kofi Kapito team was that we should maintain the ban on the importation of rice by the small rice importers into this country. And that explained why we were able to maintain a little over $500 million being spent in the importation of rice and poultry products into this country. Unfortunately, when this government came, the first thing they did was that they lifted the ban. Now, with the ban, it was illegal to bring in rice into this country through such mediums. Unfortunately, it was lifted. So when I saw the excerpts of your documentary, I was never surprised at all, because that has always been the case.
So that's the former Deputy Trade Minister there, Murtala Mohammed, there speaking on the Porous Borders documentary. Let's head to Parliament. And Evans, after the long wait, tonight Parliament has made history, passing the Affirmative Action Bill into law. The bill, which has been in and out of Parliament for several years, has finally been passed unanimously by the House. We're going to listen to Gender Minister Dakua Newman move the motion for the passage and the vote in the House.
That the Affirmative Action Gender Equity Bill 2024 be now. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I beg to move that the Affirmative Action Gender Equity Bill 2024 be now read the third time. Thank you, Mr. Smith. I so move. Thank you.
Affirmative action, Gender Equity Act 2024. I put the question. Honourable members, those in favour of the third reading of the bill, say aye. Those against, say no. Honourable members, the ayes have it. The Affirmative Action Gender Equality Bill 2024, now Affirmative Action Gender Equity Act 2024, duly read the third time and passed.
An act to provide for affirmative action for gender equity in the public and in the public and private sectors and for related matters.
Well, Speaker of Parliament Aban Babin says there's still more to be done to ensure that there is true equity among the genders.
Up at the public gallery, and it's not just today. They have been with us throughout. It's not been easy. We need to move together. It is not a bill for just women. It's a bill for all of us. It's a bill for development. This is the first stage. We have passed the law. We have to appropriate adequate resources for the ministry to lead the implementation of the provisions that we have enacted. So we've just started. Don't let's celebrate and don't really put in place the vision that we have created for the country. But more importantly, I hope that members will commit themselves to the constitutional reforms. We need to do more there to be able to create this free and just society we are looking for, to liberate more of our women, to be able to support us, to be able to develop Mother Ghana. With this, I thank all of you for your support. And may the good Lord continue to bless Ghana.
And that's the speaker after the passage of the Affirmative Action Bill. Let's bring in Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kweku Asante joining us on the line. So Kweku, earlier during one of the debates on the bill, there were some concerns raised especially by the former minority leader. Were all these issues addressed, you say?
Well, yes, most of them were addressed. In fact, there were provisions in the Affirmative Action Bill that were put before the House that required media houses to portray women in a positive light. There were provisions that required political parties to ensure that they field more female candidates in certain respects, even so going so far as calling certain seats safe seats. The argument was made on the floor that the Constitution does not allow that for political parties to foist female candidates on specific constituencies and all that. So generally, those issues were taken care of in several amendments. In fact, yesterday, the House sat up until midnight yesterday, and they were working on the Affirmative Action Bill, trying to dot all the I's and cross the T's ahead of the passage this morning. And so all these issues now out of the way, it is expected from the indication I'm getting from the minister herself and other persons, they do not expect that any person will be going to the Supreme Court or any forum whatsoever to go and seek to strike out this bill. They say that this is a win for equity and equality, and they expect that it will land on the desk of the president as soon as this week or perhaps early next week for the president to sign it into law once parliament has done its job.
Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kweku Asante, of course, a lot happening in parliament. We'll return to Kweku Asante for more from parliament. But let's dig in more on this particular bill. And we've been joined on the phone by convener of the AA Coalition, Sheila Minkaprem. We are grateful for your time here on Newsnight. Definitely has been a long time coming, but it's finally here. Guess you're happy now.
Yes, I'm very, very happy. I'm very excited for this move, for the passage of this particular bill. We are hoping that it will make a difference when it comes to gender equality.
But this is a bill that has been fraught with a lot of misconception and misinformation. How are you hoping to cure that perception that this particular law will give women an unfair advantage over men?
I know that those are some of the criticisms that came along the way as we the bill was being processed and we were doing advocacy on it. But it will, I don't believe that it will. The way our bill is structured, it's structured in such a way that there are indicators at the back of the law where all sectors, both the public sector and private sector, are supposed to comply with. And the way it's structured, once we reach parity, then the programs will stop. You know, this law is based on Article 17.4 of the Constitution. Basically, Article 17 says there should be no discrimination on the basis of gender. And 17.4 says that where historically it's been found that, you know, there's discrimination against one gender, there's nothing wrong if Parliament passes a law to bring in policies and programs which will try to address the imbalance. So the law is structured in such a way that once the imbalance is addressed in a particular sector, that program has to end. So I don't think that it will lead to, you know, women getting, I mean, what, like a reversal, you know, lording it over men. No. It's a gradual thing which will take us to parity. And once you reach parity, the program will stop. So I believe that it's a well-structured law.
Well, now that it's been passed, though, the next step is actually assenting to it. Are you confident that it will be assented to by the president, hopefully without having to apply any more pressure for that to happen?
Yes, I believe that having, you know, our biggest issue was it passing through parliament. It passed through parliament. A few changes have occurred. Some you're happy with, some you're not very happy with. But we have a law. That's the key thing. We think that getting a presidential assent should not be too difficult because we believe that the president should be in line with this. Remember, he's a gender champion. And so we'll be happy if this law. I think I was part of a delegation that met with the president at a point during the advocacy process. And he indicated that this was a law which was very important. And so I believe that he will assent to it. But we will not stop our advocacy until it has been assented to. We believe that he's in support of it.
We are grateful. I'm sure congratulations is in order. Thank you so much for your time here on Newsnight. That's Sheila Minka Premo, convener.
Thank you very much.
Affirmative Action Coalition.
And let's stay in Parliament. Well, of course, affirmative action law has been passed now. And today, we saw some singing on the floor, some jubilation. One side indeed jubilated. That is the minority side. Thanking God because the minority leader had been acquitted and discharged in an ongoing ambulance trial, and today he is a free man. The Attorney General says he is going to go to the Supreme Court and have this overturned, but until he does that, he's walking free. And today we've been hearing from some of his colleagues on the floor. The former minority leader, Harun Idrisu, himself is already warning the Attorney General that if he tries with an attempt to have this overturned at the Supreme Court, he will lose and his reputation will be at stake.
Proceed with a submission of his case had no legal basis, and therefore they not only discharged him but acquitted him. That is what we are celebrating, and he's invited to celebrate us. Now, Mr. Speaker, I hear the Attorney General, even instead of swallowing his humble pride, is saying that he wants to litigate on this matter. Mr. Speaker, we assure him that he will be further disgraced because this matter, if you want to try people, try them on matters which are legally meritorious. Letters of credit, are mere guarantees. I can go into the matter. This is parliamentary chamber. So, Mr. Speaker, the minority here is celebrating the independent, courageous decision of the Court of Appeal in acquitting the minority leader. That should be celebrated, that in the realm of separation of powers, at least one of the arms of government have stood up to a calling today that they are independent and courageous and will not be used as forum for the persecution of his political opponents.
Well, guess what? The majority leader was
invited to join the celebrations, and he was on the floor actually speaking on this. And guess what happened? One of the minority MPs picked a white cloth, uh-huh. you know, in Ghana that signifies victory, and then draped it around his neck. And then he was wearing it, and then he removed it. But he had a few things to say, though, on this particular matter when it got to his turn.
We have to be very consistent as a political class in our celebration of the judiciary. Mr. Speaker, I agree with the position taken by the Honorable Harold Idrisu. No executive arm of government can manipulate the judiciary arm of the realm. Mr. Speaker, it must never be said, that the judiciary is under the control of the executive. Mr. Speaker, Honorable Harold Idrisu is a courtroom practitioner, just as I am. You were a courtroom practitioner. One of the things that we were taught at the bar was to accept the decisions of the court. You are leading the front bench of this chamber. Let us understand that there are situations where we disagree. And even when we disagree, the language, the approach is essential. I celebrate in your victory. And you know how much it means to democracy in this country. Minority leader on trial, you've gone through the system, you believe in the judicial system. Today, on all fours, I don't take alcohol, but I can offer you a non-alcoholic wine. Mr. Speaker, I know Atu doesn't take alcohol either. No, I don't. I have serious allergies. Oh, we are not talking about other things. Mr. Speaker, I know Atu doesn't take alcohol either. Anytime you go for lunch, it is fruit juice. Mr. Speaker, if you disagree with the system, use the system to correct it. So, Dr. Fawcett, congratulations. Congratulations. It's a hard-won victory. It is good for democracy, but I want to encourage you and your colleagues that it shouldn't be that today you've won, so the judiciary is independent.
Well, we've been to his constituency where there have been reactions from constituents.
Actually, I knew he was going to be vindicated because he's innocent and he did the right thing. He never did anything wrong. For them to accuse him of it, I know they were just going back and forth. And I know the government just wanted to use him as a scapegoat, which was not going to work. We knew we were going to win this case hands down. We knew we were going to win it from the onset. He's innocent. It has been proven today. A sitting government is afraid of him. He's a very strong person, and they know the impact he has on the NDC and the followers he has. So they wanted to sabotage him by bringing court issues to him, which was not going to work. And we knew he was going to win this case.
Atu Fawcett, our mentor, is our everything. He has done a lot for the youth of this town and this constituency. He has secured jobs, development, everything, everybody knows. So when this issue came to court, we were very disturbed, especially those of us who follow Atu Fawcett. And I think this is a victory for the constituency, a victory for democracy. But everybody knows that Atu Fawcett doesn't supervise the work of Minister of Health. Minister of Health is autonomous. He's just a minister at the Ministry of Finance. And he just did something that we call, it is mandatory. It is what the Constitution obliged him to do. So we are very grateful to the fatherland. We are very grateful to the courts. We are very grateful to those people who supported Atu Fawcett through that his trial. And we are very happy that our Member of Parliament, which is our father, our everything, is now acquitted and discharged. And I know when the law says acquitted and discharged, no court can call this case again.
There was no case at all. We are expecting a more formal way of legal actions to be taken, especially when somebody is a master of the law and then they tend to go or breach the law. I'm saying Dr. Kasilato Fosin, from the beginning we know he was innocent. But the processes and some of the actions of the legal practitioners, I think it is a time the highest court of law, being the Supreme Court, takes such actions.
And those were reactions from Ejumako Enyani CM constituency. There's a constituency for the minority leader, Dr. Kasil Atafosin, who is tonight a free man. And you can find all the reactions on myjoyonline.com and across many social media platforms. And George, your face here with business.
Well, coming up in business, Bank of Ghana rolls out new centralized platform for Forex Bureau operators as the regulator moves to sanitize the industry. And tax consultant Francis Timoboy cast doubt over proposed tax reforms by government before the end of this year. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Synthes Tanks and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kingdom Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom. And my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaeji, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumase KNUSD Campus, CC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209, or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com.
Hey, so as for you, every day you are just pressing your phone. Why? Are they paying you?
They are, Omar.
Eh?
The more I use my MTN, the more points I get. And I can use those points to get airtime, data, and even discounts at shops and restaurants.
Hey, so that is why all of you are always pressing your phones. And you won't tell us, so that way too we can enjoy some.
Oh, Omar.
There's always more to enjoy with MTN Rewards. Just keep talking, testing, and browsing all day, every day to collect your points and use it to redeem amazing offers and discounted freebies right away. There's so much available for you. So dial *550# and get your reward today. Let's go everywhere you go.
Yeah. We have a new leader in town, OBRNTA. I'm off for me don't want to see the brain. When you say my baby, maybe mom more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mom lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Yeah. Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
The luckiest
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Here's to the friends who dialed *712# and found no regrets. To the investors who struck gold. To the health workers who diagnosed luck with precision. To the tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. To the passionate fan who couldn't contain his joy. To the seamstress who turned her hard-earned stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, here's to you. Your next big win is right here.
Luck is everywhere.
Dial *712# Now join in the luckiest winning celebration. Every 1st July 2024. Over dial *712# Now akoswa to ticket no as a group, individual, and as a, even as a community. Now win is the car cashier. Prizes are cashier in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Now join in the winning streak now.
the luckiest.
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah, the luck.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, Bank of Ghana has rolled out a centralized platform for Forex Bureau operators in the country that will start or be effective from August 1, 2024. Now, this was contained in the circular issued by the central bank today. There is more in this report.
The Bank of Ghana in the statement maintained that the move was to ensure the integrity and development of the financial system. Based on VES directive, all licensed Forex Exchange Bureau will be required to use VES platform for the buying and selling of foreign currencies. The central bank adds that trading of foreign currencies will be done by only firms that has been licensed by the regulator. It also reminds industry players that all foreign exchange bureaus transactions shall be conducted on VES new trading platform. Foreign exchange bureaus are required to issue electronic receipts to customers for all purchases and sales of foreign currencies. The Bank of Ghana added that the platform has been integrated with the national identification system to ensure all purchases and sales of foreign currencies are performed by verified individuals. The regulator adds that the initiative marks a milestone in the bank's efforts to ensure safe and sound operations of the foreign exchange business. Platform will also improve oversight for directors and management of bureaus and enhance the bank's monitoring and supervision of their operations in compliance with Foreign Exchange Anti-Money Laundering Act.
And that is a Business Desk report. Now, tax consultant Francis Timoboy is casting doubt over proposed tax reforms by government that could be introduced before the end of this year. Now, government has announced that it is working to review some tax handles to deal with the concerns of businesses. But Mr. Boy believes that this will be difficult to implement in terms of major changes to these handles before the end of this year.
Unless the changes are very minimal and it doesn't require parliamentary or legislative approval, it looks like we may not be able to introduce any major tax reform, especially because we are in an election year. And you know, mostly in election years, we have that transitional period where it is just appropriation in advance that is presented to parliament somewhere October, because there's this anticipation that a new government is coming to take over. So the time at this moment, it doesn't look like we can influence or implement any major reform, as the minister has said. Possibly, maybe he's looking at it as a going concern, so that maybe 2025, whoever takes over will look at it. But looking at the time from now up to maybe election year, this government may not have enough time to even get parliamentary approval for any major tax reform.
Tax consultant Francis Timoboy. Now, banks are linking bad credit culture in the country as one of the major reasons for the rise in non-performing loans. Fresh data from the Bank of Ghana ending June this year showed that loans that banks fear will not be paid back on time have hit record levels. Chief Executive of the Ghana Association of Banks, John Nwua, noted that despite these challenges, they are still optimistic about the situation improving going forward.
Our legal system or the judicial system doesn't help with recovery. If you took a bad loan or a customer who has a bad account or a bad loan to the court, the way the court system can play the bank, seeing the bank as though we are vultures trying to kill the borrowers. Of course, the environment also doesn't help, given where interest rates are. If you borrow right now at 35% or let's say 30%, what kind of business are you going to do to be able to retain sufficient profit to pay off your finance costs? It's a very difficult environment that the banks operate in. Yes, but generally, the credit culture in the country is very bad. It's terrible. I mean, I'm sure you have examples where even friends and family members have come to you for sometimes as little as 1,000 CDs and you have become the enemy, you know, though you are the one who lent the support. It's the same people who come to the bank. The same people who, you know, we give 500, 2,000 here, even Momo, you know, you say, well, don't transfer to my Momo account because I've borrowed. They don't want to pay. That same culture is what, you know, the same people are the people who come to the banks to borrow. So.
John Owa, Chief Executive of the Ghana Association of Banks in the country's lithium mine in the central region, holds a lot more deposits than what was initially projected. Now, this was after further works was done by the firm working on that project. According to a statement, the total mine resource estimate for the project has increased to 36.8 metric tons, but the firm says that this was in accordance with what was captured in the initial document for the mines. The company adds that the increase followed targeted drilling program undertaken last year in the first half of 2024. And that's all for business on Newsnight. Back to you, Evans.
John, thank you very much. And continues here with the very latest on the world of sports.
Yeah, and Accra Hearts of Oak are in the news. Their bankroller, Togbe Afede XIV, has assured that the club is building the best squad possible ahead of the 2024-25 Ghana football season. The Phobians have made huge strides in their quest to bridge the gap between themselves and to other top sides in Africa by improving their infrastructure. Speaking at the handing over ceremony at the club's new clubhouse, that's the Phobia House, Togbe Afede reassured fans that the playing body will be upgraded.
We need solid group of players. We're working at it. We want to assure our fans that Mohamed's committed, Boris committed to assembling the best squad possible. It takes time because a lot of constraints are beyond your control. You may want a player who is not available. But as much as we can find those who are available, we will bring them into the family to ensure that infrastructure-wise we are solid, management-wise we are solid, in terms of players also we are solid.
You had Hearts of Oak bankroller Togbe Afede speaking there. Back to you.
Thank you very much. Now, if you use the Accra Tema motorway often, I'm sorry, your respite after the gaping holes patches are really not over. The potholes are back, larger and unsafe than before. Michael Papani, Ashali and the team counted over 100 potholes on the express highway. Now, drivers are growing increasingly anxious and are urgently appealing to the government to address the worsening condition of a particular stretch.
Good evening. Trust you are doing well. You are fine. I'm surprised you say you are fine.
Personally, we are fine, but the car is not fine.
Interesting. I mean, tell me about your situation. And this is happening around where you have lots of potholes.
Exactly.
There.
Exactly.
How did all this happen?
When we were coming, we just surprised. We ran into a pothole, a very big one, and then we bust our tire.
Wow. And just to give some context, this is the exact spot where some maintenance works is being done. So just half of that stretch of road had been fixed. And now they are racing against time to try and get to wherever they were going. But so tell me, you were surprised by that particular portal?
Very surprised.
You never used the motorway?
No. I've been using the motorway, but this one, it was a surprise. I didn't know what happened because it's too big. You see, the motorway is a way that everybody is passing through. So we have to make sure that all these potholes are being filled. Because look at this, the tire, we have to replace it before we can go wherever we are going. Because of this pothole, you understand? So I think it is very bad. I'm very, very surprised. Very, very surprised that I was able to run.
For many situations, it doesn't end as well as yours did. As bad as it is right now, I can tell you on record that it's better. For many people, when they miss it, they end up in the bushes or just an accident here.
Of course, it's a little better, but it's not all that good. Because suppose, look at this. We are running from that place to this place. Suppose, have you seen the gutter? You should have even gone to that gutter simply.
You're a good driver.
Thank you.
Now, I mean, we've been highlighting the dangers on the pothole for so long, it appears that not so much attention has been brought to it. I mean, as a driver that frequently uses the motorway, how much of a concern are you? And this, the motorway's deplorable state is not the only problem. All the street lights, if it was in the evening, I don't think that you would have survived this.
It's true. Look at the number of cars that passes through the motorway. A lot of cars are passing here, understand? So I'm very much concerned. They should try as much as possible to fix all these potholes because it's very dangerous. Suppose it should be in the night. It's very dangerous. So they should try as much as possible to make sure that all these potholes are being filled. If you are not doing the road completely, like this, the potholes should be filled, understand? So that everybody will be okay because it's very, very dangerous, my friend. Very dangerous.
So what are you going to do now? But do you know the situation with the tire? Is it that it's completely destroyed?
Yes, it's completely destroyed. We have to change it, but we have a the spare tire, you are here, so we are going to fix it and make sure that we can carry on wherever we are going.
Interesting. I'm grateful. Thank you for your time. What was your name?
My name is Reverend Addison.
Reverend Addison.
Well, Papa Ni Ashale is in the studio with me right now. And Papa, so you saw the work that has happened. You went there before and you reported how terrible the road was. And then subsequently, some work had happened. But it appears it's, in some parts, made it worse.
Yeah, so Evans, what we did was to take a careful inspection of both the Tema bound and Accra bound. I mean, per my loose counting, I counted around 44 on the Tema bound one, and then about 60 plus on the Accra bound section. What the rehabilitation works is now only on the west part of which is the Accra bound one, where we had more than 60 plus. They've just done a few. If you know that place, then they are getting close to the Abattoir Junction. That's where they were when we got there. So what he tells the contractor on site told me that they are concentrating on also filling the potholes. I've also been talking to some engineers. Tells us that the asphalt you see there is not supposed to be, like the drivers complain, that it's not good because you have concrete there. Mm-hmm. He tells me that it's a better material, except that when you patch smaller holes, it's difficult for it to hold together, especially with this rain. But when you have longer stretches, it holds tight. That's why they are doing asphalt again. You'd see it evidently that the portions that were patched just a month ago, some of it were removed. So they're just putting a fresh layer on it. They cannot do a permanent job now because we know that the motorway is supposed to see some proper reconstruction and expansion. So whilst they are waiting to the rains to subside so they can do that, this is all they have. But like you heard from the sound, the drivers still have to endure it. His tire got burst just on that junction where the contractors have gotten to. So clearly for the contractors, they understand why they have to do this as quickly as they can.
I used it 2 days ago, and as a point, you just have to stop suddenly. Because this pothole and the rods were visible.
Very visible,
and you're not sure what is going to happen to the tire.
Was it in the daytime or evening?
It was daytime.
You are lucky.
I was lucky because there wasn't a vehicle behind me that was that close. There were vehicles in the distance. So I stopped suddenly before I actually realized that, goodness, I was on the motorway.
Yeah.
Somebody could have just run into me behind. So, yes,
in the night, dangerous. They've taken all the street lights off. So, you'll be riding in pitch dark. And you won't see this until the last minute.
Okay. And if you're on the motorway tonight, you want to share with us what you're seeing, please do so. And let's stay with on the subject of roads.
Well, for the motorway, at least, is something that is within the means of the contractors to fix. But if you're a regular user of the Ofanko and Salem Highway and concerned about the delays in the completion of the project, well, we've been getting some reasons as to why they've not been able to complete it. Speaking on Adum TV's current affairs shows, The Big Agenda, with Abna Opokuyamene, Senior Projects Manager, Engineer Abdullahi Mahama, said the gods residing on the section of the road, Evans, they had traveled for 3.5 months and the contractors had to wait for their return. Listen.
When we were constructing the road, we got a community called Toman.
There was a fetish shrine.
There was a shrine situated in the designated area for construction, which we needed to demolish.
Okay.
But we were told the gods had traveled for 3 months.
We had to go further back. 2.5 to 3 months.
So we had to wait for its return. For us to pacify the gods, we took cattle and cash to enable us relocate the shrine.
So you now know why your road, if you live in that
unbelievable.
Area.
Unbelievable.
What's unbelievable?
Well, it's a live your news 97 Joy 99.7 FM. I want to take you to the Ashanti region now, because residents there in Kumasi, the capital, a resident there has filed a stay of execution to halt a court ruling that dismissed his initial attempt to block the reappointment of Vice Chancellor Professor Rita Akusia Dixon's appointment. Now, the petitioner Clement Ohene Asari almost immediately filed the plea challenging the decision, seeking to suspend the court's dismissal while he pursues further legal proceedings. Now, however, there was near chaos at the Kumasi High Court when lawyers for the Vice Chancellor, Professor Rita Akusio Dixon, refused to be served at the court premises. Imala Bright Kweku has more.
During proceedings at the Kumasi High Court, counsel for the applicants argued the reappointment of the Vice Chancellor was procedurally wrong per the statutes of the university in extending the tenure of office. He cited a breach of the procedure for the appointment, wherein a 7-member search committee is constituted to propose an ideal candidate for consideration and the advertisement of the vacancy of the Vice Chancellor position for the application of other viable candidates. But this was opposed by counsel for the defendants, the university and Vice Chancellor, insisting they complied with the reappointment statutes. Presiding Judge Justice Frederick Tete dismissed the application, describing it as one that lacked merit and capacity. He further questioned the status of the applicants who had indicated in his application to be an alumnus of the university. Mr. Hene Asari failed to convince the court of being an alumnus of the university.
Now in court, there was nowhere in the processes the defense counsel said that they have not breached the statutes and the acts of the university. However, they decided to waste time on capacity and locus. The court said that I am not a registered member of the alumni. When an issue borders on illegality, whoever is bringing the matter to court is immaterial.
So that's what transpired in the court today. It appears it was a busy day for the judiciary, both here in the Greater Accra region, also in the Ashanti region. And there's a reaction also coming in. Earlier, you were asking Felix about the former president's reaction to this particular Court of Appeal decision. And he says it's good news from the Court of Appeal, acquitting and discharging former Deputy Finance Minister Kaisel Atoforsing in the ambulance case. This is a victory for the rule of law and confirms my long-held view that the whole case was political persecution. It goes on to say this appeal was made some time ago when they filed a no case petition before the court and the High Court rejected it. So they went to appeal. So it came as quite a pleasant surprise, but it shows that we still have justice in this country. We can work to make the judiciary what we want it to be. And he goes on to talk about what he would do when it comes to power.
And you want to watch out for all the latest across myjoyonline.com and our social media platforms. And of course, you also want to stay for Geek Squad.
Yes.
And Adubia is here to tell us what to look forward to.
Hi, good evening. I think last week we started with supporting our listeners. So having them call in, send in messages, and then we gave them tips on how to go about any device that they had issues with. And we saw a number of them try to reach us. So we are going to continue with that today.
Okay, good, yeah. Good. What do you have a device I need help with? No,
I was going to ask if you didn't call in last week.